Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you don't have an opinion, he'll give you one.
He's blunt.
It's the John Chuckery Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, halfway home on a Tuesday evening. All-Star game up here in front of us. So AL leading 1-0. I didn't see who hit the home run, but that's how they got their run. Is they're up 1-0 now, is the American League. So Freddie on first base for the National League. He just walked. So we'll keep you up to date about what goes on with all of this. So earlier today, Alex Anthopoulos, the Braves general manager, joined the Chuck House. What is it called? What's it called?
The Steakhouse.
Chuck House. Okay. What's the morning show called?
The Morning Shift. The
Morning Shaft?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. All right. Anyway, and the first question that Shappy asked was, now, should I do this in my Steak Shapiro voice?
Yes, go for it, okay. Please.
All right. So the first question that Steak asked was, listen, what did you think about the Home Run Derby last night, Chief?
So I actually didn't get a chance to watch. We're actually not in the middle of the draft. I mean, we just finished the top 10 rounds last night. We have rounds 11 to 20 today. Starts at 2 o'clock Eastern time. So I didn't watch. I mean, candidly, I don't know that I would have.
Yeah.
But you know, look, I saw
anything.
The highlights. I saw the highlights.
It was long.
It's
very long.
Yeah, it always is. And, you know, a few thoughts for me on that in a lot of ways. One, Vlad Guerrero Jr., I was in Toronto when we signed him. I personally spent a lot of time on signing him. I went to Dominican 3-4 times. I sat in his house, in his mom's house in the DR. He was born in Montreal, where I was born as well. And she speaks French, and I could speak some French. And, you know, at that point, he was 14, 15, 16. He was young. And I really got to know him and the family and all that. And it was a big deal for us to sign him. So it's nice to see him win it, and knowing the father as well from my days in Montreal. So that was fun. But look, my own opinion is, especially having watched our team these last 2 or 3 months, I like watching long homers. You know, I saw highlights of guys like Randy Rosarena just swinging and swinging and swinging. And I'm just speaking for myself. I'm not saying anyone should agree with this. I'd rather see guys have a little more time. I'm not saying they should have 5 rounds or 100 swings, but I'd rather see how far they go. And if that means you only get 10 swings around or something, I like seeing that rather than how many just scrape over the wall.
Could not agree with you more, and it's a sentiment you're hearing a lot today. Mm-hmm. The majestic home run, the one that looks like, wow, only a few mortals on earth can do that, is certainly, I think, more compelling than a guy that takes 30 swings and, you know, 28 or 30 go over the fence. But that's a lot of what you're hearing today.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of just, I see it when we get to watch you. Obviously, we have a lot of guys hitting home runs on our team right now. And don't get me wrong, I like all home runs. They help our team. We put runs on the board and so on. But I marvel at the ones that go really far where I just go, wow. You know, and that's, it's exciting. It's just fun as a fan of the game. So, you know, I don't have the answers how to get it right, but I mean, there's all kinds of things you could do with skills competitions and so on. But as a GM, you worry about guys getting hurt and so on. So
I was going to
say, I don't know what the solution is.
I was very happy to see no Braves in it. I'm going to be honest with you. Yeah. Seeing that many swings, I was very happy to see no Braves in it.
No doubt. And, you know, I understand guys want to do it and all that, and if you win, you get a lot of money as well. But I'm with you. I mean, Ronald's done it a few times now. I never get excited when he does do it. I like seeing our guys represent Atlanta and see the Braves jerseys out there on a big stage and so on. That's exciting. But, yeah, you worry. You worry about how it's going to impact them. And these guys are tired. It's a long – especially all of our players play every day. So being able to recover is a big deal.
Alex Anthopoulos with us, general manager of the Braves, joining us on the Steakhouse. Speaking of wow, that's the way to describe the first half of the season. And I know you're notorious for your humility at times, or most often. But I will say, with three guys of the eight out there, we lost Freddie Freeman. You traded for Sean Murphy. You traded for Matt Olson. You decided to make a move and trade for Sean Murphy. You came on our show and explained why you were going to commit to Orlando Arcia. To see all three of them on this stage, how proud does that make you, and how exciting is that?
Yeah, look, there's no doubt. I think, you know, they put some of the clips online, the photos of when Snit announced the eight All-Stars, and I was in the clubhouse, and I get the chills when I talk about it now. It's just, it was such a cool moment. And, you know, even I saw some stuff online last night of, you know, the eight guys, the eight All-Stars together in the Braves uniform in Seattle taking a picture together, and you know, you're just like, wow, that's a lot of guys. And seeing all of them together, and I'm looking at everybody there, and I'm like, well, those are all great people. And, look, it's about winning, and at the end of the day, it's about having talent and so on. But it's just so rare, at least in my role, or at least the way I view the world, where you genuinely really like every single guy. And I'm as proud of the group and the people, and they're such good people, you know. And to see them get in there and see how happy they are for each other and so on, it's really rewarding. And I know it's at the end of the day, no one cares about Pollyanna stuff and so on. It's about wins and losses, and that's what you get judged on. But I really do believe in, you know, guys getting along, having a good unit. You feel it, the vibe, the atmosphere. So I'm really proud of the work that Orlando put in, the work that all these guys put in, the fact that they were acknowledged by fans, they're acknowledged by coaches and other players, by peers. That's really rewarding, because you don't necessarily vote for people you don't like or people that aren't good players. So the fact that they were able to start and get on the team that many with so many good players in the league is really rewarding.
Well, the work that you and your staff did to identify, we are going to lose some guys, who do we replace them with? And you replaced them with three All-Stars. And I think as a Braves fan, that's spectacular.
I appreciate it. I've told those guys, I'm like, hey, you made us look good as an organization. I mean, they did the work. They went out and did. And I'd be lying if I told you I thought Sean Murphy would have a close to 1,000 OPS. And we thought he'd be really good. Obviously, we gave him a big extension and give up a lot of good young talent and so on. And even Orlando Arcia, the same way. I'd be lying if I told you I thought there's any scenario where he's going to be starting the All-Star game. That's obviously a high, high bar. So, but it's a credit to those guys. And also to Snit and obviously the coaches and the staff and everybody else. And look, and I realize it's also a half a season, right? So We have to do this all over again, and is it realistic to expect us to have maintained this pace? Sure, it's probably not, but I do want to try to enjoy the moment, even though I know that once Friday starts, it's trade deadline and all that kind of stuff.
When you try to explain to folks what Ronald Acuna's talent is in the year that he's having. You run out of adjectives in a way, but as a guy that has watched now and seen him come back from the injury, talk a little about his first half and really coming back at the level that we all dreamed that he would.
Yeah, I mean, really where I noticed the difference is, you know, he didn't really do much in spring training before he went to WBC. He didn't hit much. But the way he was moving in the outfield was night and day. And last year, you know, he just was not moving well. You guys watched a lot of the games. He just defensively was not the same guy. We talked to him about it. He said he was apprehensive. He was scared to jump, his knee. We were playing him really deep because he was really concerned about going back on the ball. And we said, look, are you comfortable sprinting in? Because his sprint speed on the base pass was really good. And he just was apprehensive in the outfield. And look, he didn't have his legs and so on, and there were times where the training staff would come in and say, look, he still can play, but we got to DH him. You know, his knee's swelling up and so on. But the doctor said he can keep going. So when he was in spring training and he was moving like he was in the outfield, I was like, wow, that's the guy that we saw. And I think we forgot, even though, you know, we have such high expectations, he was an animal in 2021 going into the All-Star break. He had 24 home runs, and he was leading the world. And even that April of 21, he carried the entire team. So to see him day in and day out is amazing. People ask me all the time, what kind of guy is he? And you see this guy on the field, he's demonstrative and high energy and intense and so on. I cannot emphasize it enough in the clubhouse. It's night and day. He's quiet. He's reserved. He's shy. I actually was talking to Adrianza about that. They played together on a Venezuelan team during the winter. And I asked him, I said, it's amazing what the difference is on field and in the clubhouse. And I figured out, you know what, maybe, I'm like, what is he like in a Venezuelan clubhouse? You know, everyone's there, he knows everybody, language and so on. He said exactly the same, quiet, reserved, shy. And, you know, he is as low maintenance as they come. He never asks for anything. For a guy who's a superstar, you know, one of the greatest players in the game right now, you almost don't even know he's there. He's very polite, quiet, and shy. And on the field, he's a completely changed guy, which is an elite player.
Is he the best baseball player you've ever seen?
Great question. He's right. I mean, probably. I mean, if you're asking right now, top of my head, I'm live. I mean, Vlad Guerrero Sr. was incredible, but I didn't know the game like I do today, right? I was starting my career, and just a lot I didn't know. But at the time, I felt like every time he would come up, he was going to do something incredible, and he had a great arm and so on. But, you know, when we signed him, for me, people ask me, oh, what went into it? It wasn't that complicated. I'd just come from L.A., and I'd seen Corey Seager come up to the majors for the first time. I'd seen Cody Bellinger come up to the majors for the first time, and those guys were elite. And I felt at the time Ronald was even better than those guys. And the thought was, I haven't seen this before. We better sign this guy. And same thing with Strider. I've never seen this before. You know, I've seen a lot of good young arms. I've never seen this before. We better sign this guy. And even a guy like Harris in his own way, with things he was doing in center field, I hadn't seen that either. So, yeah, he's up there. Him and Vlad Guerrero Sr., top two guys that I've been able to see. I'm 46, so haven't been around that long, but those are probably the top two guys I've been able to see.
General Manager of the Braves joining us, Alex Anthopoulos. We've got about 4 or 5 minutes. We want to get to as much as we can. Max Fried, talk about where he's at and encouraged, and then a little on Michael Soroka and Kyle Wright as well, those three guys.
Yeah, so Fried is basically, he's on a progression now. He's going to try to get built up to five innings. That five innings could be at the big league level, but basically we're just going to go start to start, and we're going to rely on him. If he says, I'm feeling good, I'm ready to go, but we want to make sure that he's ready to start a game where we don't have to put pressure on our bullpen and so on. So I think once you get into that five-inning area, 75 to 80, you know, that you could throw in a game, that's when he becomes an option for us. So he's getting really, really close here. And, you know, now he finally made a start for two innings, and he should be a few weeks away. And Soroka, obviously back, throwing better, moving in the right direction. He's going to continue to get an opportunity, and hopefully he continues to improve. Kyle Wright's throwing, but, you know, he hasn't been throwing bullpens or anything like that, so he's still a ways away. But the fact that he is throwing pain-free, he's feeling good. You know, hopefully that continues to move in the right direction, and we're talking about getting him on a mound and in games hopefully soon.
Did you know Bryce Elder had this ability to have the first half that he had?
Like with a 2.5 ERA, I don't even actually, without last outing, I don't know what his ERA was up to, but I would be lying. Look, yeah. This is how smart we are. We optioned him in spring training. So it just goes to show you, but you know, that it's a tough game, and that guy deserves a ton of credit. So, we like Bryce, obviously. We called him up for really big games last year. You know, the big thing that we do in spring training is we know how long the year is. And if you have options, meaning you have the ability to be sent down to the minor leagues without being exposed to waivers, you know, we're trying to keep as many guys as we can because we know there's going to be injuries and so on. And Snit says it all the time. Just because we start this way, we know we're not going to end this way, and we know it isn't going to change. So he got off to a slow start in spring. We sent him down. He came back, and he did not turn back. And it's been incredible. And just the innings that he's logged for us have been off the charts.
Alex Anthopoulos, you keep talking about team chemistry, you know, the connective tissue, which I think is a little cliched when you're a winning team. I've been around, you know, hundreds of teams. But this team really seems to have it. I know Sandra and I, the dining out story, right?
Yeah, Alex, this is one of the most unique things I've ever seen, especially in baseball. The article came out last week where not only does this team go out to dinners together, but a lot of the front office is picking up, the front office for the Braves is picking up checks to make reservations. Can you kind of just tell us where that came from?
Yeah, I think, you know, we talk about all the time, we want to make this the best place in the game to play. All the time. We want it to be the best place to play. And we got AC on the bench now, and you know. And I remember when I went to management to try to get that approved, I said, look, we have everything. The fan base is insane. It's incredible. It's going to be, the city is fantastic. The media is great to our players. You know, we're not going to be able to have a roof. That's, you know, when you know you're going to play. But so that last piece, our clubhouses are great. Our staff are great. That last piece, that it does get hot. And if we can get AC, it's just another piece that makes it a desirable place to play. And I think the same thing with, guys want to do events together, they want to go golfing together, they want to go to a Hawks game together. We'll try to facilitate things. One, it makes a lot of sense. We'll get them a bus and so on. We want to make sure that they're safe, obviously, but the easier we make it on them to be together and spend time, that's their decision to spend that time together. We view that as a good thing, a positive. You know, that doesn't guarantee you win a World Series, of course not. But, you know, maybe that means you get one more win, or the team's better, or someone improves, and so on. I did not win a lot as a young GM, and then finally, when I started to committing to stuff like this, our team started winning divisions. I don't want to, you know, jinx it, but since I started committing to this, I've been part of teams that have won the division every year run. And, you know, it doesn't mean it's going to stay that way, but I just think it's important. And, you know, these guys enjoy being around each other. But look, just to bring the right guys in and guys that get along. And that's one of the biggest challenges I'm going to have right now at the trade deadline is I'm really sensitive to the fact of there's a lot of really talented players out there, but will they fit? Will they mesh? How do the pieces go together? I think it's a really big deal.
Yeah, those of you who aren't familiar with the story, 25 guys with a bus paid for by the team. That's not any small tab of restaurants all over the country to keep them together. Listen, we were a little jealous, Sandra and I, say, wow, that's a hell of a gig right there. But
they won 60, but the restaurants they're getting into.
So if the whole thing just speaks to what's been a spectacular first half. So congratulations. You don't win a championship, obviously, in July and August, but it has been a lot of fun. And I hope you and your family are enjoying the summer as much as we are.
Yeah, we are for sure. This has been a nice run. Hopefully we can obviously keep things going and maybe add a player or two at the trade deadline and hopefully get back to the playoffs. And then we hope have a fun October. So long window, but definitely excited with how the first half went.
Well, thanks for being so gracious. I know the draft's still going on as well, so thanks for coming on with us always.
All right, guys. Really glad to do it. Appreciate it.
Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure.
Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Back with you, Chuck Risho. 9:23, live from the Kia Studios. You know what time it is.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Reminder, in an hour and 20 minutes, we got Rank'em coming up. So Tuesday night, Rank'em, as we always do. Tuesdays and Fridays night, so even though we've got Dom here, he's done this before, so he's played the game with us, so we will have a little bit of fun coming up here. Well, we're going to have lots of fun, I mean, between now and the end of the show, because I'm just tired, worn out. Anyway, all right, couple things here. So last week, I guess 3 days last week, set the record for the highest global temperatures in recorded history. Now, this data only goes back to 1979. So we don't exactly have a long history of this, but there were 3 days last week that set the record for the hottest days on Earth. Not in like the United States or Atlanta, on Earth.
Whole planet.
The planetary average hit 63 degrees Fahrenheit on Thursday, surpassing the 62.9 degree mark set Tuesday, which was July 4th, and equaled Wednesday, July 5th, according to data from the University of Maine's Climate Reanalyzer, a tool that uses satellite data and computer simulations to measure the world's conditions. Now, they say that the highest temperatures previously recorded had been in July of 2022, so just a year ago, and in August 2016, when the global temperatures reached 62.46 degrees. They say the rise in global temperatures is likely due to recent heat waves in the U.S., Canada, Europe, and because of El Nino. During El Nino conditions, sea surface temperatures rise above average in the Pacific Ocean. So while this data isn't very old, it is interesting that we had two of the hottest days in recorded history on planet Earth.
Yeah. Kind of scary.
Yeah. I mean, again, I have my theories. I won't get all political on you and all this, that, and the other, but that's information that you can use. And I'm sure the extremists will run with it, right? Whatever side of the aisle or debate that you are on, I promise you, somebody's running wild with this information.
Yeah.
So, how about this story? So, up in New York City, shoplifting has gotten so bad that
they are now putting anti-theft devices on pints of ice cream. This is the world that we live in now, okay? So up in New York City, up in the Big Apple, okay, the Fairway Supermarket on the Upper West Side is selling $6 cartons of Häagen-Dazs. First off, how much? A $6 pint ice cream?
Yeah, ice cream. That's how much ice cream costs now. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. They're selling $6 carton. I mean, again, these things are going to be like cigarettes.
Yeah.
That's why. I mean, again, when nobody can buy ice cream, that's why everybody's trying to steal them.
Yeah.
The Fairway Supermarket on the Upper West Side is selling $6 cartons of Häagen-Dazs with bolted plastic tops, which can only be removed with a device at the register, as other shops have padlocked freezers over the of the treats. The sign at Fairway gives shoppers the scoop on why there's now a barrier on the popular summertime sweets. Quote, to help maintain the lowest cost possible, a protective lock has been placed on some units of ice cream. Now, isn't that an oxy? By the way, too, they say, this lock will be removed at checkout by a store associate. We apologize for any inconvenience. Now, isn't that an oxymoron? The reason the ice cream is $6. So let me ask you this. If all of the theft cuts down, okay, are they going to cut ice cream prices in half?
No, of course
not. Okay, of course not.
Of course
right.
Not.
So the reason that everybody is stealing the Häagen-Dazs is because it costs $6.
Yep. But now they're going to use this and say, hey, this is why we got to keep raising these prices because you guys are stealing too much.
Look, is this an Alanis Morissette song? Is this ironic that the reason that people are paying so much for ice cream is because the prices are so high? Or the reason people are stealing things is because prices are too high? Like, I'm looking at pictures of padlocks on caramel cone ice cream from Häagen-Dazs. There are plastic containers on the top of these things. That literally, how you buy cigarettes.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I used to work at a CVS. I know all about retail. I know exactly what you're talking about.
People used to come with garbage bags and fill up the garbage bags with ice cream. Clear out our freezers. Yeah, because everything costs $6.
Yeah.
If on the black market I can get Häagen-Dazs for a buck or two, I'm going to get Häagen-Dazs for a buck or two.
Right.
Because it costs $6 for a pint of ice cream.
Sick times we're living in, John. Sick times.
It's absurd. I mean, this whole country is just upside down and not going anywhere. Anyway, Lord have mercy. All right. Happy birthday today to Lil' Kim. Lil' Kim. So it got me thinking tonight. Tonight's top 10 list. Your top 10 favorite female rappers of all time. And I'm curious to see who Dom DeLuise has on his list, if it's a dopey millennial kind of list. Dom, the floor is yours.
No, actually, I think to start off at like the bottom of my list will probably be a bunch of names you don't recognize. But as we get closer to the top, I think you'll be quite relieved and impressed.
Okay,
I'll be proud. All righty. So at number 10, like I said, a couple of individuals you probably don't know too much. One of my favorite female artists, her name is Armani Caesar. She's a current artist. I like her a lot.
I like her salads.
Caesar salad?
Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff.
And I like her suits.
Yeah, Armani Caesar. Look at you. You're on a roll tonight, huh?
That's what I do.
You're pretty good at this, John. Next up, I have one Doja Cat. I do like Doja.
Well, so I've got Doja Cat. I love Doja Cat. I'm a huge fan of Doja Cat.
Yes.
Now, this Attention song, it's all right. But let me tell you, that Kiss Me More song, that's one of the best songs I've heard in the last 5 or 10 years.
Yeah,
that song is tremendous.
She's fantastic. Yes. I like Doja a lot. She's very talented.
And partnering up with SZA, I mean,
that's
good stuff.
At number 8, I have MC Light.
Yeah. Now, I will, because I'm old school, you know, cha-cha-cha and everything. Like, yeah. I have MC Light pretty high on my list. Because she, again, you know, for me, I mean, she's historically one of the breakthrough female rappers of all time.
Absolutely.
So she's one of the more influential people of all time.
Yes. At number seven, I have another current artist who goes by the name of Rhapsody. I think she's extremely underrated.
I've heard of her.
She's phenomenal. At number six, I have Queen Latifah.
So, Queen Latifah, so, do you know that I have a, I've talked about this before. I have a very strange fascination with Queen Latifah.
Okay.
Like, I think she's a very attractive woman.
Very, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I really dig Queen Latifah. Now, I think she plays for the other team, but I really dig Queen Latifah.
Yes.
And again, you know, some of her early music is outstanding.
I mean,
it's really good stuff.
Yes.
So she's on my list as well.
And then my top five, I have Megan Thee Stallion.
Yeah, I'm not as big of a fan of Megan Thee Stallion. But I mean,
love Meg.
I get it. Yeah, I get it.
At four, I have Happy Birthday to her, Lil' Kim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Lil'
Kim. I mean, I love Lil' Kim. Yeah. I love her attitude and
everything
her look
about, yes.
and her clothes. And I like everything about Lil' Kim.
Yes. At number three, I have Missy Elliott.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she might be number one all time on the list. I mean, she's one of the more influential she's honestly one of the more influential female artists of all time.
Yes. I have if you have her number one all time, I will not argue that.
Yeah.
I'm no problem with that. At number two, I have Lauryn Hill.
So I'm not a big fan of hers, and it's probably
really?
Well, it's probably because of just how she's acted personally in the past.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you can't talk to her and this and
doesn't show up for her shows.
Yeah, I mean, again, let me put it like this, okay? Try pulling that stuff on me one time and see how far that goes.
Yeah.
And I don't care how big your bodyguard is. I have my pistol. Again, I don't care how big your bodyguard is. Try pulling that crap on me one time.
Yeah, leave me waiting for you for 4 hours and then come out and say, I don't feel like it.
Or just, you know, again, there's stories that she's been rude to, like, people. Like, they can't say things like acknowledge her or this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
So,
and then number one, I have, to me, the greatest female rapper of all time, and that is Nicki Minaj.
You know, again, I like Nicki Minaj. I like Cardi B. I enjoy some of their stuff. I just, you know, I'm an old soul.
Yeah.
I'm an old school guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I like them. Neither one of them made my list. So here's what I got. I got Lil' Kim.
Mm-hmm.
I got MC Light.
Yep.
I've got Queen Latifah.
Mm-hmm.
I've got Missy Elliott.
Yep.
I've got Doja Cat.
Mm-hmm.
I really like this girl, Eve. I really like Eve.
Absolutely.
I think Eve is very good. I go old school again. I like the girls from Salt and Pepper. I mean, I like those two girls.
Yes.
I mean, they again, good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
DeBrat.
Yes.
Going old school again, you know,
made
as well.
My list, yes.
I put Lisa Left Eye Lopez on my list as well. And I am
absolutely
I'm as big a TLC fan as there could be. I think that No Scrub song is one of the masterpieces ever done. I think it's a brilliant song. And then also on my list, and again, probably more for her look than anything, but Foxy Brown.
Foxy?
Yeah. I like Foxy Brown's look.
She did have a great look, yes.
I like her look probably more than her music. I mean, but I like Cardi B and Nicki Minaj's look, you know, as well. But
yeah.
I don't know. I look at them like a SZA. I mean, I feel like that they are kind of more like pop artists and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which again, I like their music and all that kind of stuff. I just, you know, when I think of female rappers, I think of some of the old school people,
right,
like the MC Lights and Queen Latifahs and people like that. Like, you know, again, Missy Elliott. I mean, people just that were maybe a little bit more hardcore. I don't know if that's the right word or not.
Absolutely. I think that's a fair comparison and a fair critique. What I will say about Nicki, at least why I hold her in high regard, granted, and obviously this was kind of more my era, but Nicki Minaj, in my opinion, held down female rap like by herself for a strong decade.
Okay.
Like during her run, now you're starting to see the Cardi B's, the Megs, like Doja's, all of them are popping up now because of how much Nikki held her own weight in this industry.
Right, right.
Basically by herself as a woman.
Right.
Getting on tracks with huge artists and people walking away and being like, all right, who is this Nikki girl? Because she had the best verse.
Right.
So that's why I hold Nikki in a very high regard.
And I'm not even mad at that. I mean, I recognize her talent. I mean, again, I think she's I enjoy her music. I think she's a really good artist. You know, I just, you know, when I do things, it's kind of is an old school, kind of old head on some things. So anyway, hit us up with your list, 404-726-0929. When we come back, Felipe Cardenas joined us earlier in the show, talking some Atlanta United. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
The John Chuckery Show.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We talked to our buddy Felipe Cardenas. Of course, he is the soccer writer for The Athletic. TheAthletic.com is where you can check out all of his work, and you can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at Felipe Carr. Felipe, as always, buddy, appreciate it. Thanks for a few minutes on the show this evening.
How's it going, John?
I am good, and Atlanta United is good after a couple of victories. And, you know, I was on vacation all last week, so didn't get to see as much. But, you know, one of the things I was looking at, some of the stats is, you know, I guess, Felipe, if you can't shoot the ball against Atlanta United, you can't get shots off against them, you stand a pretty good chance to win, because I believe that they only gave up a few shots over these last couple of games. Am I right about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's the story of Atlanta United over the last two games, that defensively they've been a lot better. But remember, they had to. This was a solve that Gonçalo Pinedo, the head coach, had to make. They have been leaking goals, 35 goals, if I'm not mistaken, conceded in 21 games. It's among the highest in the league, just a +4 goal differential, which in the end, I mean, this doesn't bode well. It doesn't. You know, this is a team that the spine of the team hasn't been great. That's what wins you championships in every league. And so the positive is that over two games, everything that they've been working on in training, there's been a bit of a switch in the formation of playing with three center backs and just being a little bit more sound defensively. All that has come to fruition with two consecutive shutouts. So it is positive, but I think it's still much of a work in progress, especially defensively. So work to do.
Do you think they've played better over these last couple of weeks than they did at the very beginning of the season? Or do you still think the beginning of the season, they got off to a really hot start and that was their best soccer that they've played?
No, I think the beginning of the season was, it's just so hard at the start of MLS to know who's going to be great and who is just sort of on that beginner's hot form. And I think that's what Atlanta was. You know, the soccer wasn't great to begin with. The goals were pretty spectacular from Thiago Mata. And I think in the end, they did take care of business with those, I think, four or five games at home. But, you know, I think that it's gotten better over the last two games because tactically, I mentioned the three defenders in the back and just playing with more of a more solidified system. I think, you know, you can see the players understanding a little bit more, like what to do, both defensively and in the attack, progressing the ball forward. There seems to be a bit more intention in the way that they've played, and that's credit to the staff. You know, they don't have their center forward. They don't have Giakoumakis, and the, you know, the big Greek center forward is supposed to be that missing puzzle piece. Like if you know you've got a guy up there that can finish goals for you, but you have players that are technical and know how to get the ball into the box, like Brooks Lennon, for instance, really having a really strong year on that right wing. Well, you know, you're going to win games, but they haven't been able to keep Giakoumakis healthy. So that's another huge question mark moving forward.
Felipe, talk about and walk me through some of the changes in this roster. I mean, I thought Andrew Gutman was having a really good season for them. And, I mean, was this a reaction to okay, we've got to shake up this roster, or were they just too good of a deal to pass up? I mean, walk me through and help me with Franco Ibarra, with Andrew Gutman. I mean, you know, it seems like that these guys have been consistently in the lineup, and Gutman, I thought, played really well this year. I was at the game a couple of weeks ago where he scored. You know, what has led into all of this change in this roster over the last couple few weeks?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, we're in the summer window, and Garth Lagerwey, the CEO and president, has always said that they were going to make moves to try to improve the team. And this is a team that, you know, currently sitting in seventh place in the Eastern Conference, is they've got to get better. You know, I really think that it's still a team that, yes, has talent in some parts of the field, but they're still young. They still have players that are growing into the league. Thiago Almada, obviously, just an excellent talent, but still a young player, not someone that you can just hoist everything on top of his shoulders and expect him to lead the team. And I mentioned the spine. You know, it's been a revolving door in central midfield. Like, who's going to own that spot? So they signed a player, a more experienced player in Tristan Mbemba from the second division of France, a team in the second division in France, and he's a defensive midfielder, can play a little bit more attacking as well, but he's, I think, for me, a signing to just add some bite, stability, and experience in the middle of the field. Andrew Gutman, you mentioned, you know, I think for me, this is probably an example of he had some value in the league, and the team, Atlanta United, took it. They took the value. They get some cash that they can use to sign perhaps an upgrade in that position or just add it to the cap and sign a more explosive attacking player. And I think Andrew Gutman was just a player that they felt they could get some really good value from. And, you know, Franco Ibarra, if you haven't read my interview with Franco Ibarra, I spoke with him exclusively, you know, for The Athletic after he was loaned to Toronto FC. And the reason that he was loaned is because, you know, he's an under 22 player. That's a new initiative in the league. Each team can sign three under 22 players and essentially pay what you want for them. It's almost like three new DPs. The problem with Atlanta United is that they signed four under 22 players. So one had to go, and Carlos Bocanegra and the front office decided that because, again, similar to Andrew Gutman, Franco Ibarra had value within the league, he was the one that they could move, essentially. The other two players, Edwin Mosquera and Eric Lopez, they were unable to move. They're just not the caliber of player that other teams are really wanting. So I think that was an unfortunate incident because I think the human side of trades, and I know, you know, John, you know how it is in American sports. Players get traded on a whim, and they sometimes they find out on SportsCenter, sometimes mm-hmm. they find out on Twitter. In soccer, it's much different. And I think MLS is sort of in this gray area where players sometimes, international players, get caught off guard with, you can have a contract and you can just be sent to another country, which is what happened with Franco Ibarra. And he was really upset with the way it was handled and the fact that he was told on a Wednesday and told that he was a TFC player the next day. So, again, I think certainly Atlanta United probably feeling they can even upgrade there as well, though.
Felipe Cardenas, soccer writer for The Athletic, joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. So the window will close August 2nd. Do you anticipate more moves? Do you anticipate anything else happening between now and then? I mean, they still have obviously plenty of time. So what could be next for Atlanta United?
Well, again, like I've said this probably on your show several times. I continue to say it, like, yes, they have Thiago Mata. Yes, they have a player like Caleb Wiley that can run up and down that left wing and tirelessly, right? But I still think they're missing that player that is a real, real difference maker in the attack, someone that's just really difficult to handle. If you're a fullback, you don't want to face him. If you're his coach, you can really rely on him for assists, goals. You can play him in different positions in that front three. And that's not a player that Atlanta United has. And I really do think that dynamic winger, which is really key for a lot of MLS teams, a lot of teams right now that are playing well have that type of player. Now, that would be an interesting move for Atlanta United in this summer window. Can they sign a real difference maker in the attack and really, really help with Gonzalo Pineda? When he looks down the bench or can he just add a little bit more fuel to the attack? Because sometimes it does sputter still. So I think that's one move. And then we have to wait and see, like, what happens defensively. Are they going to look to upgrade the back line? I don't really think that's something they'll do in the summer window. I think that could be a winter move because Miles Robinson's contract will be up. And what my colleagues at The Athletic have reported is that, you know, they believe Miles Robinson may want to test free agency. And so that's going to change the team a lot if he decides to move on. But what happens in the attack with Yakimaki's day-to-day and really struggling to stay healthy, you know, that's something that I think in the end could set this team back come playoff time.
You know, and I don't disagree with you, but my question would be, you know, how easy it is to find those guys. I mean, you know, again, everybody wants a guy who can score 30 points a night in the NBA. There aren't a whole lot of those guys running around, right? I mean, there aren't those dynamic players that can be difference makers. I mean, look, I don't know if you want to call it luck or whatever like that, but, you know, Joseph Martinez, besides being a dynamic player, it was always, okay, in case of emergency, break glass, Joseph will come in and he'll score a goal and we'll be fine. How many of those guys are running around MLS, or how many of those guys are even available to add to a roster like Atlanta United?
Yeah, it's hard. I think those there's just a handful of players, and they're among the top players in the league. You know, you look at Bouanga at LAFC. He's sort of that type of player that you can play him on the wing and play him as a center forward. Really difficult to handle, very tricky, tons of stamina, endurance, and he can score. And he's a top player. He's an experienced player. Players like Carlos Vela, you know, he's much more experienced veteran player. But those are guys that once you get them, you've got to keep them. You know, you've got to sign them to long-term contracts and build around them. I think that's been a big problem for Atlanta United, building around players. They just ship players out too often, and that's led to a lot of the inconsistencies and the instability, I think, of the roster. That's something that Garth Lagerwey, you know, told me who he wants to fix. You know, you've got to keep players around. You've got to keep coaches around in order to build towards that continuity. And then to answer your question about just are there 30 goal players out there, it's hard. That's why it's, you know, the center forward in world soccer, that's always the big, big money signing, because they are so rare to get prolific goal scorers. And to get them to MLS is even harder. You know, you're facing and challenging against some of the top teams in the world. That's why MLS has chosen to go younger. And then the gamble there is, well, he might be a really good player, but he's an inexperienced player. And so I think they found their guy, Yakimakis. I really do. He's very different from Joseph Martinez. I don't know if he'll ever come close to Joseph's numbers. I really think in the end we're going to look back and think Joseph Martinez really was one of a kind in MLS, but Yakimakis is, you know, he can be great in this league, I think. He just has to stay healthy, and the team has to be stronger around him. They have to be able to win games, like you mentioned, tight games, close games, maybe games that are a little bit ugly, and then know that they have goal scorers really to finish off opponents. Right now you're still not really sure, like, what Atlanta United is going to do against top competition in MLS, but certainly trending up as we speak.
Last question for you, Felipe. So this should be a pretty good litmus test tomorrow night, right? I mean, Atlanta United's got a couple of wins against a couple of decent teams. I mean, obviously Philadelphia pretty good. You know, Montreal, they are what they are. But you're going up to New England. You know, again, road games in MLS are always a challenge. Obviously, New England is one of the better teams in the Eastern Conference. So this feels like it's a pretty good litmus test about where Atlanta United is they are a little bit hot. They're playing better defensively. Like, this feels like an important match. Maybe in the grand scheme of things, it's not so important. But it does kind of feel like, okay, there's a lot of momentum behind Atlanta United. Why not try to find a way to go up there and at least get a point, but maybe even three?
Yeah, I think the look at – I mean, honestly, again, I think you're going to hear the players say we're going for 3 points and that's our goal no matter where mm-hmm. we play. But a draw in New England is going to be just a great point for Atlanta United. This is, to your point, New England's a good team. They've got a really great coach, a historically great coach in Bruce Arena. Carlos Hill, a former MVP, you know, one of those dynamic number 10s that has punished Atlanta often. You know, this is a team that Atlanta has struggled against New England. And you're playing at Foxborough, as you know, like, it's just one of those strange – sort of football stadiums, NFL stadiums. The turf isn't great. New England, very comfortable there, though. And it can be just like just a difficult place to show up and play a soccer game and win. And so it's going to be a huge test. I agree with you. I think it's a huge test to see if not to call those games flukes, the games against the wins against Philadelphia and Montreal. I thought Philadelphia were flat out awful, and that's a good team. But credit to Atlanta United, Montreal, I agree. I think they had their chances, but if they can get three wins in a row, or at least a point out of this, and have three straight games where they don't lose, that's a nice streak for Atlanta United. It's a nice streak. They've got to get into that fourth spot. You know, it's summer, and we're about to get into the League's Cup, and the league is going to, MLS is going to stop playing for a month. But that's the goal for Atlanta United. They have to host a playoff game. I think they'll be really dangerous if they can do that. And these are the kind of games you've got to win, or at least play well and get something out of them.
Felipe Cardenas, he covers soccer for The Athletic. TheAthletic.com is where you can check out all of his work. Join me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Follow him on his personal Twitter page, @FelipeCar. Felipe, as always, buddy, appreciate it, man. Thanks, my friend. And listen, we will certainly chat again here with you soon.
Of course. And again, surprise, no questions about Messi. No questions about Leo Messi. But, yeah, he has arrived, John. He has arrived.
Yes, I saw the billboards and everything. So they didn't do that to me when I arrived in Atlanta, but I guess I'm just a little bit less famous. So, anyway, thank you, Felipe.
I hear you.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARC and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARC Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Now, more of the John Chuckery Show.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
talk to our buddy Felipe Cardenas. Of course, he is the soccer writer for The Athletic. TheAthletic.com is where you can check out all of his work, and you can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at Felipe Carr. Felipe, as always, buddy, appreciate it. Thanks for a few minutes on the show this evening.
How's it going, John?
I am good, and Atlanta United is good after a couple of victories. And, you know, I was on vacation all last week, so didn't get to see as much. But, you know, one of the things I was looking at some of the stats is, you know, I guess, Felipe, if you can't shoot the ball against Atlanta United, you can't get shots off against them, you stand a pretty good chance to win, because I believe that they only gave up a few shots over these last couple of games. Am I right about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's the story of Atlanta United over the last two games, that defensively they've been a lot better. But remember, they had to. This was a solve that Gonçalo Pinedo, the head coach, had to make. They have been leaking goals, 35 goals, if I'm not mistaken, conceded in 21 games. It's among the highest in the league, just a +4 goal differential, which in the end, I mean, this doesn't bode well. It doesn't. You know, this is a team that the spine of the team hasn't been great. That's what wins you championships in every league. And so the positive is that over two games, everything that they've been working on in training, there's been a bit of a switch in the formation of playing with three center backs and just being a little bit more sound defensively. All that has come to fruition with two consecutive shutouts. So it is positive, but I think it's still much of a work in progress, especially defensively. So work to do.
Do you think they've played better over these last couple of weeks than they did at the very beginning of the season? Or do you still think the beginning of the season they got off to a really hot start and that was their best soccer that they've played?
No, I think the beginning of the season was – it's just so hard at the start of MLS to know who's going to be great and who is just sort of on that beginner's hot form. And I think that's what Atlanta was. You know, the soccer wasn't great to begin with. The goals were pretty spectacular from Thiago Mata. And I think in the end, they did take care of business with those, I think, four or five games at home. But, you know, I think that it's gotten better over the last two games because tactically, I mentioned the three defenders in the back and just playing with more of a more solidified system. I think, you know, you can see the players understanding a little bit more, like, what to do both defensively and in the attack, progressing the ball forward. There seems to be a bit more intention in the way that they've played, and that's credit to the staff. You know, they don't have their center forward. They don't have Giakoumakis, and the, you know, the big Greek center forward is supposed to be that missing puzzle piece. Like, if you know you've got a guy up there that can finish goals for you, but you have players that are technical and know how to get the ball into the box, like Brooks Lennon, for instance, really having a really strong year on that right wing. Well, you know, you're going to win games, but they haven't been able to keep Giakoumakis healthy. So that's another huge question mark moving forward.
Felipe, talk about and walk me through some of the changes in this roster. I mean, I thought Andrew Gutman was having a really good season for them. And, I mean, was this a reaction to, okay, we've got to shake up this roster, or were they just too good of a deal to pass up? I mean, walk me through and help me with Franco Ibarra, with Andrew Gutman. I mean, you know, it seems like that these guys have been consistently in the lineup. And Gutman, I thought, played really well this year. I was at the game a couple of weeks ago where he scored. You know, what has led into all of this change in this roster over the last couple few weeks?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, we're the summer window, and Garth Lagerwey, the CEO and president, has always said that they were going to make moves to try to improve the team. And this is a team that, you know, currently sitting in seventh place in the Eastern Conference, they've got to get better. You know, I really think that it's still a team that, yes, has talent in some parts of the field, but they're still young. They still have players that are growing into the league. Thiago Almada, obviously, just an excellent talent, but still a young player, not someone that you can just hoist everything on top of his shoulders and expect him to lead the team. And I mentioned the spine. You know, it's been a revolving door in central midfield. Like, who's going to own that spot? So they signed a more experienced player in Tristan Mbuyamba from the second division of France, a team in the second division in France, and he's a defensive midfielder, can play a little bit more attacking as well. But he's a signing to just add some bite, stability, and experience in the middle of the field. Andrew Gutman, you mentioned, you know, I think for me, this is probably an example of he had some value in the league. And the team, Atlanta United, took it. They took the value. They're going to get some cash that they can use to sign perhaps an upgrade in that position or just add it to the cap and sign a more explosive attacking player. And I think Andrew Gutman was just a player that they felt they could get some really good value from. And, you know, Franco Ibarra, if you haven't read my interview with Franco Ibarra, I spoke with him exclusively, you know, for The Athletic after he was loaned to Toronto FC. And the reason that he was loaned is because, you know, he's an under 22 player. That's a new initiative in the league. Each team can sign three under 22 players and essentially pay what you want for them. It's almost like three new DPs. The problem with Atlanta United is that they signed four under 22 players. So one had to go, and Carlos Bocanegra and the front office decided that, because, again, similar to Andrew Gutman, Franco Ibarra had value within the league, he was the one that they could move, essentially. The other two players, Edwin Mosquera and Eric Lopez, they were unable to move. They're just not the caliber of player that other teams are really wanting. So I think that was an unfortunate incident, because I think the human side of trades, and I know, you know, John, you know how it is in American sports. Players get traded on a whim, and they sometimes they find out on SportsCenter, sometimes mm-hmm. they find out on Twitter. In soccer, it's much different. And I think MLS is sort of in this gray area where players sometimes, international players, get caught off guard with, you can have a contract and you can just be sent to another country, which is what happened with Frank Ibarra. And he was really upset with the way it was handled and the fact that he was told on a Wednesday and told that he was a TFC player the next day. So, again, I think, certainly Atlanta United probably feeling they can even upgrade there as well, though.
Felipe Cardenas, soccer writer for The Athletic, joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. So the window will close August 2nd. Do you anticipate more moves? Do you anticipate anything else happening between now and then? I mean, they still have obviously plenty of time. So what could be next for Atlanta United?
Well, again, like I've said this probably on your show several times, I continue to say it, like, yes, they have Thiago Motta. Yes, they have a player like Caleb Wiley that can run up and down that left wing and tirelessly, right? But I still think they're missing that player that is a real, real difference maker in the attack, someone that's just really difficult to handle. If you're a fullback, you don't want to face him. If you're his coach, you can really rely on him for assists, goals. You can play him in different positions in that front three. And that's not a player that Atlanta United has. And I really do think that dynamic winger, which is really key for a lot of MLS teams, a lot of teams right now that are playing well have that type of player. Now, that would be an interesting move for Atlanta United in this summer window. Can they sign a real difference maker in the attack and really, really help with Gonzalo Pineda when he looks down the bench, or can he just add a little bit more fuel to the attack? Because sometimes it does sputter still. So I think that's one move. And then we have to wait and see, like, what happens defensively. Are they going to look to upgrade the back line? I don't really think that's something they'll do in the summer window. I think that could be a winter move, because Miles Robinson's contract will be up. And what my colleagues at The Athletic have reported is that, you know, they believe Miles Robinson may want to test free agency. And so that's going to change the team a lot if he decides to move on. But what happens in the attack with Giacomakis day-to-day and really struggling to stay healthy, you know, that's something that I think in the end could set this team back come playoff time.
You know, and I don't disagree with you, but my question would be, you know, how easy it is to find those guys. I mean, you know, again, everybody wants a guy who can score 30 points a night in the NBA. There aren't a whole lot of those guys running around, right? I mean, there aren't those dynamic players that can be difference makers. I mean, look, I don't know if you want to call it luck or whatever like that, but, you know, Joseph Martinez, besides being a dynamic player, it was always, okay, in case of emergency, break glass, Joseph will come in and he'll score a goal and we'll be fine. How many of those guys are running around MLS, or how many of those guys are even available to add to a roster like Atlanta United?
Yeah, it's hard. I think those there's just a handful of players, and they're among the top players in the league. You know, you look at Bouanga at LAFC. He's sort of that type of player that you can play him on the wing and play him as a center forward. Really difficult to handle, very tricky, tons of stamina, endurance, and he can score. And he's a top player. He's an experienced player. Players like Carlos Vela, you know, much more experienced veteran player. But those are guys that once you get them, you've got to keep them. You know, you've got to sign them the long-term contracts and build around them. I think that's been a big problem for Atlanta United, building around players. They just ship players out too often, and that's led to a lot of the inconsistencies and the instability, I think, of the roster. That's something that Garth Lagerwey, you know, told me he wants to fix. You know, you've got to keep players around. You've got to keep coaches around in order to build towards that continuity. And then to answer your question about just are there 30 goal players out there, it's hard. That's why it's, you know, the center forward in world soccer, that's always the big money signing, because they are so rare to get prolific goal scorers. And to get them to MLS is even harder. You're facing and challenging against some of the top teams in the world. That's why MLS has chosen to go younger. And then the gamble there is, well, he might be a really good player, but he's an inexperienced player. And so I think they found their guy, Nyakamakis. I really do. He's very different from Joseph Martinez. I don't know if he'll ever come close to Joseph's numbers. I really think in the end we're going to look back and think Joseph Martinez really was one of a kind in MLS, but Nyakamakis is, you know, he can be great in this league, I think. He just has to stay healthy, and the team has to be stronger around him. They have to be able to win games, like you mentioned, tight games, close games, maybe games that are a little bit ugly, and then know that they have goal scorers really to finish off opponents. Right now you're still not really sure, like, what Atlanta United is going to do against top competition in MLS, but certainly trending up as we speak.
Last question for you, Felipe. So this should be a pretty good litmus test tomorrow night, right? I mean, Atlanta United's got a couple of wins against a couple of decent teams. I mean, obviously Philadelphia pretty good. You know, Montreal, they are what they are. But you're going up to New England. You know, again, road games in MLS are always a challenge. Obviously, New England is one of the better teams in the Eastern Conference. So this feels like it's a pretty good litmus test about where Atlanta United is they are a little bit hot. They're playing better defensively. Like, this feels like an important match. Maybe in the grand scheme of things, it's not so important. But it does kind of feel like, okay, there's a lot of momentum behind Atlanta United. Why not try to find a way to go up there and at least get a point, but maybe even three?
Yeah, I think the look at – I mean, honestly, again, I think you're going to hear the players say we're going for 3 points and that's our goal no matter where mm-hmm. we play. But a draw in New England is going to be just a great point for Atlanta United. This is, to your point, New England's a good team. They've got a really great coach, a historically great coach in Bruce Arena. Carlos Hill, a former MVP, you know, one of those dynamic number 10s that has punished Atlanta often. You know, this is a team that Atlanta has struggled against New England. And you're playing at Foxborough, as you know, like, it's just one of those strange sort of football stadiums, mm-hmm. NFL stadiums. The turf isn't great. New England, very comfortable there, though. And it can be just a difficult place to show up and play a soccer game and win. And so it's going to be a huge test. I agree with you. I think it's a huge test to see if not to call those games flukes, the games against the wins against Philadelphia and Montreal. I thought Philadelphia were flat out awful, and that's a good team. But credit to Atlanta United. Montreal, I agree. I think they had their chances. But if they can get three wins in a row, or at least a point out of this, and have three straight games where they don't lose, that's a nice streak for Atlanta United. It's a nice streak. They've got to get into that fourth spot. You know, it's winter. I'm sorry, it's summer, and we're about to get into the League's Cup, and the league is going to, MLS is going to stop playing for a month. But that's the goal for Atlanta United. They have to host a playoff game. I think they'll be really dangerous if they can do that. And these are the kind of games you've got to win, or at least play well and get something out of them.
Felipe Cardenas, he covers soccer for The Athletic. TheAthletic.com is where you can check out all of his work. Join me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Follow him on his personal Twitter page, @FelipeCar. Felipe, as always, buddy, appreciate it, man. Thanks, my friend. And listen, we will certainly chat again here with you soon.
Of course. And again, surprise, no questions about Messi. No questions about Leo Messi. But, yeah, he has arrived, John. He has arrived.
Yes, I saw the billboards and everything. So they didn't do that to me when I arrived in Atlanta, but I guess I'm just a little bit less famous. So, anyway, thank you, Felipe.
I hear you.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late. Simply Safe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplysafe.com/podcast. That's simplysafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Having control over your healthcare is a relief. Yet so many Americans struggle to find that freedom at a price they can afford. That's why Christians across the country are turning to Redeem HealthShare Ministry. Choose your doctors, your hospitals, your treatments, all while keeping costs low. At Redeem, faith meets real affordability and the freedom to care your way. It's healthcare that lifts your spirit. Join the community today at redeemhealthshare.org.